Hey everyone, it's John. I'm here with Johnny.
Hello.
Another episode of Talk About That. We're so grateful that you have downloaded or streamed or accessed it in some point yet again.
Is this the last remote, John? Is this the last remote podcast? I need to know. Can we be face-to-face next week?
You're hoping. Well, you know, they're lifting the quarantine ban for, what, people, groups under 50?
I don't know. I think Tennessee.
May 1st for Tennessee.
So whoever's, you might be listening to this in a state where it's like still complete lockdown and you hate Tennessee because you're like, these people. That's the weird thing. It's like all these governors are getting, we have 50 grand experiments going on in this country.
Yeah.
And we're going to learn from each other and hopefully we'll show some grace to each other as we poke our head out of the foxhole.
Well, Tennessee is lower on the number of cases. It's still going up.
Like per population size or whatever they, however they calculate.
I saw a map this week Laura had with green, red, yellow kind of thing. And we were in the green. I think that our social distancing, I mean, I was talking to my friend from Wisconsin. I mean, dude, they have some major outbreaks there happening. And it's very, very strange. You know, and California was in the green, by the way. But, you know, they locked down really early. They were one of the first ones.
Well, I'm ready to be in person with people. I've been doing a lot of Zoom shows. I've been doing a lot of...
you're such a curmudgeon, though. I'm kind of surprised. I figure you'd just be like growing your nails out to 2 feet and a big beard and kind of hunching around and... I don't know.
I'm ready for a haircut. I don't know. I feel, I've said that in the beginning of all this, that I feel like people who think they're introverts are going to figure out that they're not as far on that spectrum as they thought. And people who are extroverts are going to find a little bit of peace in the storm that they didn't realize either. They're going to be like, oh, I needed this break and I didn't know it. You know, I was burning it out. I was burning out or whatever.
Well, you know, Laura's the extrovert, I'm the introvert. And I guess you get in your groove, you know, of this. It's not like it's all shocking that whole first couple of weeks. We have a groove with homeschool assignments from Sadie's school. We have a groove with work, you know, where I'm going to work. I had another kind of book editing deadline later this week, you know, and I have spots, I know where to go, especially when the weather's nice, you know, you can sit outside and so you kind of make it work, exercise routine, all those things. But man, the extrovert, you know, for her, which, you know, we talk about that. It just means she recharges with people when introverts recharge alone, but we all need people. Like introvertism should never have been some excuse as we use it to like, I don't need people. It just means like,
or I hate all people.
Right. Everybody needs to be in groups of people, you know, at some point in time. It's just a matter of what gives you energy when you're depleted. You know, when I'm depleted, alone time or time with a very small group of people is more energizing to me than going into some large group. If Laura's depleted, I always laugh at her. I was like, hey, well, you know, you're feeling kind of down. Let's go to a mall and see how many strangers we could meet. You know what I'm saying? Like I make fun
of her. Or at least watch.
You
know? Yeah.
Yeah.
At least watch the strangers and be like, can you believe this guy? Look at that.
Let's go table to table in a restaurant and just start asking their life stories and see what happens. You know,
boy.
That's our friend Mike Burnett. He's that way. If you ever go to a restaurant,
of course. Yeah.
He'll just start going table to table, man. He'll just start talking to people. And a lot of them he'll know because he's done this before. It's like, dude, this is a town of like 60,000 people. How do you, you know, I mean, that's just, you as an introvert, do you ever feel insecure around people who do that? Like, I should be doing that. Like that they're nicer is kind of how I feel.
Yeah. Or you just go like, what do they know that I don't know? Or, I mean, I don't know. I feel like everybody's got that thing where they look at other people's life and you go like, have they got something figured out that I don't have figured out? I'm sure there's people who look at me and think that in some way. Like people always imagine like if they know you're a comedian, they're like, I could never do what you do. And I'm just like, it's not that hard. I mean, to me, it's like, it's not, it feels like a lot of instinct. It feels like I kind of figured it out. I found a thing, you know, like if you discover you have X-ray vision, it's not like, and then I slowly developed a sick. It's like, no, I just kind of figured it out in my 30s that I had this thing that I could do and I've gotten better at it, but it's not like, I feel like, oh yeah, it's so, but I like to play it up. If people go, oh, it's so hard. I go, no, it is hard. You know it. Cause I don't want them to try comedy. That's my goal. If I can talk you out of it, you know.
was going to say, if somebody wants to pay Johnny to come in, it's very difficult what he does.
Absolutely.
Don't listen to what he's saying. Like, it's, well, he's a one of a kind.
That's right. You can't listen. I'm irreplaceable.
He worked for years to develop this, so.
Yeah, it's weird, though. It's, I don't know. I think everybody's got something, though. And yeah, I do. I look at people who are extroverted, and I do think that. I think, man, this is, or if you see somebody that seems like they've got it figured out family-wise, sometimes it's hard with Instagram, you know, filters on everything. We look at this picture, and you just start imagining that their life is this perfect thing when we know it's not, because we know that we have those same photos. You know, we don't let photos go out that are where you look like a train wreck, generally speaking. I do more because I'm trying to be funny, but generally speaking, you want to look, you want to present, put your best foot forward, control the narrative. But when you see other people, you don't think that. You just go, oh, but this person, they seem like they may have something I don't have. You know, they got their kids to all wear the same white shirt and white pants on the beach.
Right. That didn't happen randomly.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, look, we all happen to be wearing the same clothes.
You wore white pants. I wore white pants. Yeah.
Oh, look, a professional photographer.
Yeah.
So, Leah, you're right. There's a lot of setup to make those things happen.
And the grape Kool-Aid all day. You got to keep your kids away from grape Kool-Aid.
Oh, that's my the key. Goodness. You got to keep my wife away from that stuff. Listen, man, my wife spills something on her clothes every time that we eat. In fact, almost every time that she drinks a cup of coffee or anything, like the first drink is going to go on the shirt. I don't know what it is.
She's got a drinking problem. Yeah, she does. Yeah.
You know, she's been talking a lot about how everybody right now wants either or, you know, like you're either an extrovert or you're an introvert. And how a lot of things would be better for us right now if they were both and instead of either or, like just the mindset of both and. Like it could be, you know, everybody's, not everybody, but you have the polar extremes in the social media world and in the mainstream media that are saying that this is completely blown out of proportion, you know, and then others who are like the world is ending. Mm-hmm. And you, it's like, I feel that people feel this great pressure right now to have to pick a winner, like instantly.
Or be on
like,
the okay, side of the winner. Like, I at least want to put myself in the camp of the people who were right.
Oh yeah. The anxiety to choose the right, like camp right now. And I think it was already there. I just think this is has exposed it much more.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, hey, it may be a both and situation. Like, hey guys, you know, I know after many, many conversations of people who they are one or two people removed from several people who've died. We know that over 50,000 people in the United States have died. That's a lot of people, no matter how you slice it. And okay, so there is something here to be concerned about. And it also may be that, you know, like you said, at some point we're going to have to come out of our houses and start trying to tiptoe into other things, like both and. Instead of the emotion of saying one's all right, one's all wrong, you know, finding that middle ground and being like, hey, you know, listen, we'll make adjustments. I always say that with our team, like, let's make a decision. And here's the best part. If we feel this pressure to make the perfect decision, always tell them, look, hopefully by God's grace, 2 weeks from now, we'll all still be at this table with brains. And if something we decided 2 weeks ago is not working, then we'll just keep talking and adjust. Like we don't have to feel the need to get it all right now. Let's have a little faith that we're going to all keep talking.
Yeah, I think that's one thing that has happened with social media is you get so deeply entrenched in your ideology and there's like a record of it all. Of everything you said. And so to go back, like we've taken away that thing that says, if I get new information, I have the freedom to change my mind.
Yeah.
And that's what really the scientific method is.
Right.
You know, is like, hey, new information leads to a new hypothesis or a new, you know, like all data is result, you know, is a result. Like even a failure of this experiment is a result. Like if Tennessee goes out there, when 2 weeks from now, our cases are doubled, you know, 300 people are dead. We can go, man, we might have came out too early, but like, there's going to be a result. But like, people don't want to be wrong. So it almost feels like people are, I know people who are almost like rooting for it to fail. It's so strange to see. You just go, wait, you don't want us to be okay? Like, it's so weird.
It really is because
you want to be right.
Concerned, yeah, about the rightness of it. I mean, that's that proverb, man. You see someone who's right in their own eyes, there's more hope for a fool than them. And of course, you know, Proverbs is all about fools and wise. And we all are fools at times. And it's trying to give you instances, you know, scenario-based instances in life where you can be a fool less. So you might be a fool still on this area of life, but you don't have to be a fool everywhere. If, you know, this is where it teaches us. And above all, being right in your own eyes is the one. Like,
yeah,
that one and not being able to shut your mouth. Those are the two things over for me. You just kind of really wrap up.
But I like talking, John.
Well, I mean, you can like talking as long as you're able to control the words that you are speaking. That's,
but who
that's
can
really
tame the tongue, John? Who?
Oh, my
no,
goodness.
Man.
Flaming fire.
Mac Powell told us that. Wait.
Hey, I listened, by the way, to you interview Mac Powell the other day.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was on our little show.
Yeah, and that was really fascinating. You were telling him stories about us.
I told him about that we covered a couple of their songs a few times. Well, no, we didn't have like them regularly in our rotation because we had to do your dumb songs. But every now and again, we would do Consuming Fire, of course. That was like, you know, you can't be a 90s Christian rock band without doing Consuming Fire. Everybody wanted to learn that
goodness.
Song. It had the great solo and the little great little run, and it was easy to play.
Yeah.
It was a very accessible rock song. And one thing I didn't tell him that I wish I'd told him was that you used to leave voicemail messages as Mac Powell on my voicemail. You'd be like, hey, Mac Powell, and let me tell you something about my God. Here's a fire! And you would scream.
Hey, I got your demo that you gave me, and I just want you to know, I think it's on fire. It was so ridiculous, Johnny. We did it a lot, by the way. We did it a lot
because we had a lot of like near miss experiences as a band. Which, by the way,
turns out they weren't as near as we thought.
I'm just saying, like, we would have an experience where like, maybe we're going to open for so and so, and that we thought that was going to be our ticket in. That's always your key. It's like, oh, if we get to open for this band who's made it, then like that's how you make it in. Somebody
and
sees
it's not
you.
At all how you make it in.
No.
By the way,
really, it's scary to think about how you really make it because it's just a lot of work that goes completely unseen for years and years, and then one day you're like an overnight 20-year success. But so that was the thing. We had a lot of those things where it's like, we might get dope. And then so you would leave me messages. If we would meet somebody, you'd leave me messages. Hey, yo, this is Toby Mac. And I knew it was you right away. It was just, you were doing it just to be stupid. But
yo, this when you had Mac. An answering machine, by the way, back then.
I did. Or maybe it was my little Nokia 5150 phone or whatever, the ones that are like bulletproof so you could play Snake on. Can you imagine if this pandemic happened when you had those phones?
Oh my goodness.
Like no internet phones, no real internet to speak of. I mean, no, like the internet was around, but it was not this internet where you can watch movies and do all this, like Netflix and all that. Netflix was sending you DVDs through the mail.
Yep.
So it's like, yeah, can you imagine like how different would be if we just we're just out. I mean, you talk about isolation, good grief, and the boredom.
I don't know. I mean, you know, in some ways, again, I don't think of myself in some ways. I'm the most pessimistic.
Like I've already turned off the internet, John.
Personally,
I don't even know. We've just been making up games in the house and we're having the time of our lives.
You know, you always think of me. You always like, you always see the bright side of things. You always find that's not what you say. What do I say? It's like this, like I'm going to convince myself that everything's okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you usually end up saying to me. Like that, you know, whatever it is.
I wouldn't say that I call you delusional, but I would say that you need for things to be okay for you to be okay. And so sometimes you'll convince yourself things are okay when they're clearly not okay.
Well, I think what I do is I've learned that I think that this is the way I want to be, at least, that I get to decide if I'm okay regardless of what the situation is. I mean, that's the whole life in Christ for me. Like, you know what? Here's the deal. I don't have to let a situation freak me out. And when it does, I'm in my bad place. And so I'm going to not be delusional about the situation, but I'm also not going to let every situation dictate if I can help it.
Well, I think that's coming to bear too. We talked about that, about how people who have anxiety, I read a story about this too, that kind of backed up what we said, that people who we know and ourselves, who both of us deal with anxiety to some degree with worry and things, that when the worst thing happens, hey, you're trapped in your house and good luck. And your focus kind of narrows. Okay. Now it's not about like all of these options that I had that were creating anxiety. Now it's about, can we find toilet paper today? That's your job, John.
Yep.
And what it does is some of that anxiety goes away when the worst thing happens, because it's almost like they took away the thing that you were really worried about was taken away. And so you're just like, look, we're here and it's happening to everybody. So you really can't feel sorry for yourself in the same way. So it's happening to everyone in some degree, although everybody, I hate that whole thing of we're in the same boat, because some people are just having their lives completely turned upside down. Some people are like, this is a cool little break. Like, it's a different boat for a lot of people. But I do think that, I think it's interesting that some people who have anxiety are seeing like, oh, wow, this horrible thing that I could not have imagined has happened, and it did not derail me. And it's almost like your spirit is being tested, and you've come out the other side of it in a way. And that's, I think that's kind of healthy and cool.
I think absolutely. I have more, I don't want to use the word anxiety in this particular case. I think that sometimes it is more difficult to anticipate something than it is to go through it for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. You live the pain of it in advance.
Yeah.
The unknown the is the hardest.
And part of that is me being counterphobic. Like, that's how I live my life, is by trying to conquer something before it conquers me.
Uh-huh.
And that has healthy and unhealthy sides to it. And so I want to get ahead of it. I spend my life trying to get ahead of things.
Yeah.
In fact, that's in my daily prayer declarations. I have to remind myself I don't wake up behind, because I always wake up feeling like I'm behind today.
Yeah, I think I have that. Definitely, for sure. Yeah. And when I started comedy, I was 33. And I immediately felt like I needed to become a big deal quickly, because I would see these 20-year-olds at the club who already had, 20 great minutes. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I felt so bad. We had conversations about it, gosh, why didn't I start this earlier? I'm going to be this old man now. And I had to really find peace with that.
Yeah.
Not feeling behind.
Yeah. It's a real, I remember when I'd written like 5 or 6 books and had no publishing, at all to speak of. Yeah, you feel like this in my way. Like, wasted time is like such a sin to me, like in a really unhealthy way. Probably if I feel like time is wasted, then I'm behind. But faith tells me, then the things I believe about who I am in Christ, like, okay, well, do I really believe that God's calling the shots? Do I really believe that he can put me where he wants to put me? And he has proven that over and over again that he has. So like, I have to keep, hey, I'm not behind today. I might be behind, like, literally physically on a project, or something. I might like be behind the deadline, but this like general overall, weighty feeling of everyone else in my profession or in the church world, or they're ahead and I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
That sense of scarcity.
Right. You create a person who is farther up the ladder than you.
Right.
Sometimes it's a real person that you're like, oh, well, they have more followers than me, or they have more projects than me, or they seem to be really handling this well, or they're saying wise things in this crisis that I would never have even thought to say. You create that person, even if they're not there, to feel more behind. I had somebody do that to me. I had a few social media posts in a row that I had kind of saved up, video clip here, a little meme there, a funny joke there. And then somebody was like, you're social media, you're on fire this week. And it's somebody I really respect in comedy. Hmm. And it was like, oh no. Like, it was like, now I've created, it made me feel worse. I was
you
like,
created expectations now. Right. You have to keep doing
and
that,
I was like, I feel behind. Now I've set a standard of myself. I'm further up on the ladder than myself now. I've created this image. It's so strange, but I'm prone to be negative. And I'm working on it. I think what I was thinking about earlier, though, the anxiety thing, I think trials are necessary, and they reveal who you are. And so, like, if we never went through anything, which is kind of what's happened, or this generation, we've not really gone through anything. We've not gone through, a world war. We've not gone through a Great Depression. We've not gone through. And so, that's the whole thing of like, there's comedians that have jokes about that, like, my dad worked so hard, 3 jobs, so that I would have it better than him. I wouldn't have to live the life he did. And I don't. And thanks, Dad. And they're lazy bums, So that whole idea of like, the generations before us fought and bled and died. And so now here we are, we're comfortable. We have, you know, everything's connected to the grid and we don't have to go out if we don't want to. Everything, food can be brought to the house, all this. But has it made us better people? Well, now all that's being tested because, like, now we're having to show resolve in the face of something. We're having to decide, do we take GM plants and stop making cars and start making ventilators? This generation has never had to do anything like that.
Right.
So we're having to learn and but it's showing us things. I think coming out of the other side of this, we're going to have that data and that knowledge of like this, some good came out of this. You know,
I think they'll be good. I also though think that the method by which I'm not speaking about one medium in particular, but I mean the tone and the rules really of communication and information dissemination, those are the things that are, it doesn't matter what good you have to give. If the way you disseminate it turns it bad, then when it comes out the other end, it's bad. And I think that, like, you know, I'm thinking of that scripture that let your gentleness, which reasonableness is the word in the Amplified, the other word I think is endurance or, Johnny, I need this word right now in my head. Tolerance, that's the word. Let your mercy, tolerance, and reasonableness, that's the definition there in the parentheses of gentleness, let it be known to everybody. Let it be evident. And it's not really evident even among those who I think are speaking things that are true.
Yeah.
And so like by the delivery of the truth, and I'm not one saying that everything should be nice. It's not, we want to boil it down so fast. Like, oh, you just want everybody to be nice. And there are things worth fighting about. But when by the methodology of my fighting, I break the value system of the thing I'm fighting for,
right,
then I poison the thing that I'm supposed to be putting out that's supposed to be pure or healing to others. And so the Bible says that suffering produces character and character produces hope. And that's why we should rejoice in our sufferings because it produces something good in us. And the deal is though, if it produces this and you can't take it and put it into a form where we can, either process it or accept it or reflect upon it in a way that's not completely adversarial and attacking and polarizing and all those things. If we can't, you said something, you know, earlier, if you don't get new information, if new information never changes your opinion, if it never grows, I don't mean like it changes from black to white, but if it doesn't change it from black to gray a little bit, like in some area of life, if data, information, or someone else's perspective never causes you to grow or move in your own perspective. Mm-hmm. That stationary thing there is by definition, I think, scripturally, a place that's going to leave you in foolishness, and it's going to hurt people around you. So I hope that the good things come out. My point of that, I hope as the good things come out, that we don't just reflect upon what they are, but we reflect upon the way that we're communicating good or bad things.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's just figuring this out. This is really the first time in decades and decades and decades. I mean, if you go back to Spanish flu, it's the closest thing of like, and they didn't have the technology we have and the population that we have. So it's a brand new problem of how do we reintegrate back in. Some people are going to want to go diving back into crowds. Some people are going to like tiptoe back out. Some people are going to be very nervous and they have a right to that. Some people are going to give you the side eye if you're not wearing a mask everywhere. I think we need to learn to have grace and peace with each other and just be patient. Everybody's on a different path because some people have older family members. They're still, I mean, it's going to be a thing. And I just think we got to be cognizant. It's like you said, when you have an argument or you have a strong opinion, if you start that strong opinion that the other side of this must be a moron, you've already like weakened your argument. You know, if anybody that doesn't believe this is stupid, let's start there. Like that's kind of what social media has done that I feel like. And now it's all we have because, you know, the past 5 weeks we've not been around each other. So that nuance is getting more and more, distant because it feels like we can just be reduced to pixels. And so when we start getting around each other again, let's try to remember like this is a human being on the other side of me, you know. And let's treat each other with grace.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a, the art of being able to disagree, you know, the art of learning, or the methodology of learning at all, it means to listen. There is no learning without listening. It certainly means to listen to viewpoints other than your own. And you can still have strong opinions. But I do think the dismissal of the character, that's been the thing. Character's the wrong word. The dismissal of your value.
Yeah.
You are now worthless to me. And, you know, you are dangerous. You are, you know.
Right. You're canceled. So, yeah.
Right. There's nothing else now that I need to, to acknowledge with you.
And right.
That's been the hard thing. Everybody is not, listen, there are people out to get you. So, you know, that's fine. But, you know, that doesn't mean that it's everybody.
Can you say specifically who was out to get me?
Well, Johnny, I think I sent you a letter in the mail. So
I don't like the way you were like, Johnny, there are people out to get you.
I'm going
to
need you to stay 300 feet away from me. Or excuse me, the judge is going to need you to stay 300 feet away.
It's like the dump truck that has the sticker that says stay 200 feet back, not responsible. We just need that on the back of all of our shirts. 200 feet back, not responsible.
I wrote a bit about that and you didn't like it.
Not responsible for the windshield?
But I tried to write. I tried to write a because I was just doing the tweet song thing there with you.
Oh right.
But I think you could help me really write a true like more like a 45-second with a couple punches, because I think that thing right there gets me all the time. That like there's something not just funny but profound there. Like if I just drove down the road throwing baseballs at other cars as long as I had a sign that said not responsible. I mean really?
Yeah, man. I should have tied these baseballs down better. My bad.
Right. I mean, it's like, who else is responsible? Someone has to be responsible.
There must have been. There's got to be a politician, though, that voted that in, that did release them from some liability. Just put a sticker on here. Like, can you not, what do you do? Catch up with the dump truck? Pull over! If you get a crack, like, what would you do? You really don't have any recourse.
The reason it works is it's unenforceable.
Yeah.
Because you could never prove that that piece of gravel came from that particular truck in a crowded highway. So
we can't dust for gravel.
Right. I get it practically. I just think it's hilarious that it's like, no, I put up the sign. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, you know, and I suppose I guess that's just like beware, why I call it road hazard.
It is. It's like beware of dog. Like if your dog bites me.
Yeah.
Beware of dog. If I'm on your property, I guess that's one thing. But if your dog gets out of the fence and bites, well, I had a sign like, no.
Right.
Your dog's crazy. It jumped the fence. Yeah. I'm sorry if you have dogs out there who are crazy. I don't mean to offend anyone who's a dog owner. So I was jogging the other day. This guy's garage door was open. And I'm jogging the little trail, the little sidewalk. This dog starts running at me. It's a little like a Toto dog. Little whatever you call those. What are those called?
A terrier?
Yeah, it's a little terrier. So this dog's coming at me and he's making a beeline. I'm like, is this going to be a chase me, bite me dog? But it wasn't. He started just following me.
Yeah.
And then I wanted to keep running because I'm on a little app and I want to keep my time right. But then the guy's almost yelling at me like, he's almost trying to
bring your dog back.
Right. Like, stop running. My dog is following you now. That dog followed me for a mile, John.
Wow.
I think the guy
didn't run behind.
I think he had to get, no, he wasn't a really running kind of a guy. I think I don't want to besmirch his character, but he did not look like he was going to just take off in a full jog after us. But I think he did end up having to get in his car and come, because I did like notice the dog wasn't there anymore. But then I saw a car just kind of pulled up, and I think it was his car waiting on the dog to get there, and like he was going to snatch it. But it's so funny. And I just think like, that's on you. And like, I was just running your dog, and I was scared because it's a little dog, but it's like, a little dog will jump and bite your feet, and
he just take your Achilles right out.
I
have quite the Odysseus tales of dogs.
Odysseus wasn't he a Greek philosopher?
Yeah, well, the Odyssey. Yeah, no, he was a character.
He was
Homer.
Okay.
Homer's
Greek
the
mythology. Odysseus.
Was it Homer?
Homer was the Iliad and the Odyssey. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry for all of you. Some of you out there are like, what? Yes, I knew it. I just was
quite
see again.
You
I'm
have
like,
quite the Odysseus tale.
I do, man. Like I have had large
that's
dogs.
Probably
small
the most
dogs.
Pretentious thing you've ever said. And I've been your friend for over 20 years.
That was just natural. I wasn't trying to be pretentious. That's just giant. That's how I talk. I can't help it.
This reminds me of something Homer once said. Simpson? No, the other one.
Anywho, dude, it's a in fact, I've written about it a little bit. I just never done anything with it. But like, dude, the number of dogs in my old neighborhood,
yeah,
there were like five dogs. Any given 3 mile run, I knew where they all were. I knew what each one would do.
They chase you?
Big one, small. Some of them would.
Oh, man.
One little dog
stop running.
Out.
If I thought it was going to be every day, I would just stop running in that area.
Well, I started taking, do you know those retractable magnets that you can get like at Harbor Freight or whatever, that way you can reach behind something, and if you drop a screw or something, you have that retractable metal.
You beat the dog with it?
Oh, I would use it as a space, though, between us. I would carry it in my pocket. The dog came, I could take it out, and he won't come past it. Just put it right at his nose, you know, as you run.
This is the weirdest thing. You had a little telescoping wand that you would point at the dog?
Just to keep him away from, because he would stop and start trying to bite at the wand instead of at my leg, you know. And so until I was out of...
You
know,
I bet people who saw you running thought you were a blind person. Like that was a blind, like one of those seeing eye... What are those called?
I don't know. Guide they sticks. Saw me. They
I saw to call, me. I almost called it a seeing eye stick, but that's not a thing.
Seeing eye stick. Johnny just made a new product.
There was a guy who was blind, John, that I read about like 4 years ago. Yeah. And he skied in the Paralympics by using a series of like beacons, sound beacons that would come as he was going down the hill. He would know when to turn as he got closer to these beacons. And I'm not making that up.
That's
and I thought to myself, I can't ski and I have my faculties.
And you, yeah.
I got all my senses I
can corroborate Johnny's story. He cannot.
It is brutal.
Ski. I
need to look up video on that because I don't know if he had like a skiing eye dog. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it works, but he had like he's listening for the turns. Wouldn't you be terrified? Oh, like I'm
a little terrified just skiing for real.
If I was blind, I would just be like, skiing is probably not in my. I can't imagine somebody's like, I'm not going to
let your schemata. Am I right?
I'm not going to. Okay. I'm not going to let this limit what I could do. I'm going skiing. Like that would never occur to me. It's like one time I saw a guy play for the Pope. This was like when I was a kid. Remember the Axe Network? Remember that before it was before
ACTS. Yeah, I was thinking
network.
AX.
So there was a network called Axe. It was like Christian television, the early days of Christian television, and they would show some Catholic programming. And I saw a guy playing for the Pope a guitar with his feet. He had no arms.
Wow.
And he played this feet. And I thought, well, this will be, you don't know what you're to expect. It's a guy playing with his feet. He was making chord structures with one foot.
Wow.
And strumming with the other. And he was playing like intricate symphonies with this foot guitar. And I'm like, if I had no arms, I could not kick this guitar down the stairs.
Oh my goodness.
And
dude, if I had to just do something left-handed,
right?
Like I can barely, my left hand.
When you're throwing baseballs at people from a moving truck, you're like,
oh. Right. Oh my goodness. But it's okay. I have the sun. So we're watching America's Got Talent from last season, which by the way, I take issue with the grammar of the whole name of the show.
America's.
So basically it's America.
Well, it's America has got talent. It's basically what the America's got
America's
talent.
With apostrophe S. That's
but it's, no, it's like
that's a loosely constructed.
Listen, the contraction is America has got talent.
I know that it is, but couldn't you just said America has talent? Like, do you have to really put that? People are not thinking this
America's
through, Johnny.
Got it going on.
They're America's. Just watching it. America's got like, there's a lot going on.
Somebody posted that meme
title.
The other day. They said basically we're all playing a game of lockdown got talent because everybody's out trying to do Zoom videos and TikTok videos to like show us their dance moves and no one's impressed. We're all Simon Cowell's like judging them.
Well, dude, last season, Cody Lee.
Sadie, that's incredible.
So Sadie was getting us to watch it. Now we watch it every night. We're into like the Second Live.
This guy won,
show.
Right?
Well, don't tell me you haven't finished.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Thanks a lot.
He may not have won. I don't know, but I don't know how you take it away from the guy.
He's already won in my book. That's the deal. The moment I'm going to tell you, I bawled like a baby.
Oh, yeah. The first video when he's... Oh, man.
The first video, I saw it.
Niagara Falls.
I said he was like, Daddy, are you... I was like, I'm crying profusely. Like, this is what it means for a grown man to weep in your presence. I mean, it was... And, of course, he got the golden buzzer and all that stuff, but I'm just... To your point about like having disabilities and then being able to
overcome
the piano. He can't do the opening interview, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And to sit down and that voice and he's blind, you know, blind with autism, in case you guys don't know this blind autistic, what is he, probably 21?
Yeah.
And his mom has to walk him out to the stage. You know, he's very sweet and he laughs and other things, but my gosh. And suddenly he starts playing piano and singing. And it's like the greatest thing you've ever heard. I mean, it's soulful. It's like when the music starts, it's like he suddenly has this ability that he, and it just, it was one of the most moving things. And you start really thinking about, I think, the complexity of the, not just the human mind, but also the complexity of what sort of giftings go into humans from where they are.
Yeah. And like, and maybe the human spirit, like, would he have, if he was not given those, you would never wish it on somebody like being blind autistic, but I'm saying like those parameters being put in place from birth, he was forced to overcome that. And yeah. So the artistic side of him took over. Like, you just wonder, I don't know. It's weird to think about it. It's weird to think about the obstacles in my life that I hate. And I'm almost angry with God. I'm almost angry with God at sometimes. Yeah. Why couldn't you have made me this? Why couldn't you have made me that? And then you just think, but it made me, for instance, I was always awkward around girls. I was always very shy. And so I would try to think up funny things. So I would have something to talk about. I'd think up a funny line, or I would have a snarky thing to say that off of what the teacher said. That was my defense mechanism. It was also like I'm showing, it's almost like you're creating a value in society for yourself.
Yeah.
But it was because of out of this like incredible insecurity about everything else. So if I was just like the good looking jock and I could play basketball great or whatever, that other side of me might have never developed. It would probably just have atrophied. So I don't know.
Well, you know, scripture says that suffering is common to man, but we know that types of suffering are not, you know, we've not experienced homelessness. We've not experienced those things in life. But when you don't experience, and I think there's a real sensitivity to the statement I'm making here. This is why I like podcasting more than I like tweeting, because I can explain what I mean by this, that the physical difficulty can be much greater.
Yeah.
It can be have a much far reaching consequences generationally, legacy wise, other things. So I'm not minimizing those tragedies of those things, but even someone who hasn't been in a situation like that does have a level of adversity and suffering in their life, even if it's only internal and if it's emotional. And so, again, we're a culture of comparison. That's how we find value in things. And so it's there's that like guilt that there's the guilt that I'm not homeless. You know, you get that a lot, or guilt that I haven't been in this. And then there's also dismissiveness of different people's issues. And the bottom line is we all come with some level of brokenness. I think I've said this before, and it sounds so dumb now that I say it, but I think it's good for me to keep looking dumb because it helps reveal something that I remember the moment in the last probably year and a half where I actually realized I could not be a good enough dad to stop Sadie from having some sort of brokenness in her life.
Yeah.
Cause I kept being really offended by it.
Right.
She, you know, she feels insecure about this, or she feels this or that. And I kind of look at her like, hey, you know, what's wrong? Like we have made sure, you know, that you've had this and this and this and this, and that you've been loved and you get to talk it out and we discuss our feelings and, you know, where there's no, we're trying to minimize any kind of shame. And, you know, how did this emotion or this thing come out? And it was almost like I felt that sort of whisper in my heart, like, hey, you know, you can't stop her from being broken. Only I can do that. Like this whole common to man thing in scripture, you didn't actually believe it till
now.
Well,
and the idea that we're supposed to be broken, that's where empathy really comes from, is if you never experience anything like that, you just assume, well, like you say with the homelessness or somebody else, like you build this narrative in your head, well, they might have chosen that, or this is from choices they've made.
Right.
You know, and once you've experienced, like I remember I've told this story before on the podcast, but when I went part-time at the church to pursue comedy, part-time or full-time, and it was very scary. I had no health insurance for like 18 months. Curry got fired from her job.
Yeah.
And then they lied and said that she quit so that they wouldn't have to pay unemployment. And we had like some decisions to make. It was very scary. And it was like this in a lot of ways. I think about it during the pandemic of like, your focus narrows when you're like, all right, I'm not going to make any money for the next 3 months.
Yeah.
What's important? And then you just kind of start a checklist in your head. Like, let's secure the four walls around us. Let's figure this out. Let's make sure we're not going to drive each other crazy in the house. Let's make sure we're good. And you start, but that focus is so narrowing, but that experience was so valuable for our marriage because we really had to close ranks. And it, yeah. and it, what it really gave me in the long run is an empathy for people who do their best and still lose their job and get lied on and all that stuff. And just through no fault of their own, working poor people, which is a large portion of our country. Like, I think my old conservative mindset growing up, I would just imagine like you are the sum of your choices and there's no gray right. areas. And I just don't really feel that way anymore. I feel like a lot of people are falling through the cracks and they're doing their dead level best. And I think going through that experience myself has given me empathy for that. And I think empathy is so important. As we enter this new time in America, we're going to need more empathy and not less.
No, absolutely. Because you won't, I mean, obviously without empathy, you won't try to help somebody's situation
yeah.
regardless of their own choices. Look, this is something I said in that message on Job last week. Like we all, no matter what we think, we believe, most of us, I believe, functionally hold to a belief system mm-hmm. that good things get rewarded, bad things get punished.
Yeah.
You know, that's really the topic of Job, not just why is there suffering in the world, but this guy didn't deserve this, you know, kind of thing. And there's so many like assumptions within that, that I think we're not aware of all the time. And so, you know, I said, these are the two questions I ask myself that helps this. One, have I received every bad thing in life that I know I actually deserve?
Yeah.
Like think of all the things I've done, all the things I've thought, think about all the times that I've not been a good husband, not been a good father, not been a good employee, not been a good son. You know, go through those things. Did every single one of those get retribution, some sort of punitive delivery of punishment mm-hmm. in the exact proportion
right.
to what I deserved?
Yeah.
And in every case, I could say no. I mean, I would deserve right. a lot more. And then the second question is just as important. Has every good thing in my life that's ever happened to me, can I trace it back to a direct cause and effect between something good that I did that caused that good to happen? A good conversation I had now that produced this later. And some, again, in both instances, again, both and, right? Yeah. Doesn't be either or. There were times I did get punished, you know, for something I did wrong. And there were times that I planted a good seed that down the road, something good happened from mm-hmm. it, or, you know, so it's not like that principle is completely extracted from it altogether. But I think what Job teaches us is, hey, if you think that that's strictly how God rules the universe, according to only that,
yeah,
then you don't understand that it's a lot more complex than that. That's really what God tells Job in the end. Like, it's not that there's not something here, but you don't understand the complexity of the universe and what I'm doing here. And so that always brings me, I mean, it's caused me to your point, instead of just summing people up by their choices. And hey, man, when you're a youth pastor and a teacher and you and I both worked with kids forever, you get a front row seat to often really bad consequences coming to fruition mm-hmm. within a month or two, especially in these short-term relationships that kids have in their teenage years. You see it in the get-go. You warn them, oh my gosh, dude, this could not be a worse idea. You know, like the path you're going down leads to bad things. 2 weeks later, they're in jail. 2 weeks later, you know, something horrible happens. And it's almost like adults in that situation can get very non-empathetic. And we've all been there where you're like, you see it so many times. You're like, my gosh, I told you so. You kind of deserve this, you know. And at the end of the day, I think you're right. Grace really bypasses that. You can say, hey, now listen, we have this talk as a parent all the time. What are you going to learn from this?
Yeah.
So yes, we did tell you so. Okay.
Right.
And two, this, why did we tell you so? Because we love you. And this ended up hurting you. And we don't want you, God's ways don't want you to deal with that kind of pain. There's going to be suffering common to man, but there's a lot you can avoid. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what God's trying to lead you in. And so this hurt you. What are you going to do next time? If you just keep repeating that without learning from it, then what is going to be really the point of this relationship? Well, how are we going to actually help each other if you don't listen? So, but anyway, wow. That was a lot, John. I need you to comment on every single point in order.
First Go. Of all, yes.
Alliterate.
No, but there is that thing of like everybody, C.S. Lewis said that we all believe in justice until we're the one that needs mercy. You know,
yeah.
Like if somebody owes us $100, we're like, what's his deal? I saw him out at a restaurant. He owes me $100. But if we're the one that owes the $100, we're like, yeah, but he doesn't know what I've been through. You know, you immediately suddenly become like, why I deserve mercy. So I just think in this new season, we need to extend a lot of grace to people and a lot of mercy, because we're all figuring it out for the first time. And what I guess I'm saying is, John, the restaurants are open tomorrow and I expect to see you. I want to have a meal together. We used to eat lunch at least once a week together.
Yep.
It's been a long time. And I want to know when we're going to tiptoe back towards that. I mean, they can't
pay this time.
They can't. Why does it have to be about that? Is this about the $100 thing that I bring? Did I bring that
in? You owe me $100, right?
Wow. Probably more than that. No, so I'm telling you, Longhorn, John, 50% capacity. There'll be another booth between us and the other booth. Now, I should tell you, I have coronavirus, but don't let that fear,
don't,
John,
let that affect, though, if you really faith love me, over as a fear friend.
No, I want to get the biggest, they have that big loaf of bread they bring, John.
I can't eat that. I'm back on keto, man.
Yeah, but you could take a day with your friend and eat,
Johnny, I took a day.
You could eat another. You could eat a loaf of bread
and then another.
All right, you can get your wings.
Yeah, that's what I want.
I'm thinking, although, like, let's not go Monday, but I'm thinking like Wednesday.
You know what? Let me.
That way
let
we me, sorted out all the riffraff is kind of, we figured it out.
Are you certain that the Mount Juliet restaurants? Listen, we'll have to talk off
Wilson
the air.
County. No, I want to know right now.
You want me to commit to this?
Are you scared to eat with me?
I'm not scared to eat with you. Okay. I'm going to tell you this.
Oh,
the teacher duties in my life, while my wife and I are both working, like, we trade off a lot, and there's a lot of technological filters that are needing our attention.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, did you upload that to
Docs? In the day. It's like a 3 p.m. It's an early supper, John.
Yeah, I might be able to. It may be a low day.
I think you're scared.
Remember what I said, though, when we get to Wednesday, we'll still have brains and we can still communicate. Like, we'll be able to make better decisions.
John, we don't know that.
That's the first thing to go is your brain.
I have read. Don't you know about the 5G networks? Our brains are being melted.
Oh, boy. As we speak.
Yeah.
Hey, and we hope that the podcast today has not melted your brain, listener, but instead it's enriched you.
I teed that one up for you.
Equipped you and caused you to feel better about life, or maybe think deeper about life. And one thing, in all seriousness, Johnny and I were talking off the air today. We're ready to actually insert a segment back into our podcast, mm-hmm. and perhaps even enhance it or add some others that is really based upon questions from you guys. And so a lot of our questions in the past have been about writing or about comedy and those kinds of things. And those are fine. But if there are topics or other things, maybe reflections, you want us to kind of like, hey, you guys said this and that made me think of this. And so would you talk more about this?
Yeah, like, go to our Facebook page. Talk About That podcast has a Facebook page. First of all, like it, because that way you'll get news and updates from us. That's where we post a lot of the episodes directly to. But that's a great place where you can just leave a message, a private message to us. If there's a topic you want us to cover, if there's something we said that you liked or you even disagreed with, we're open to that. We'll delete you right away. But we can't
totally
have
make it.
We don't allow for dissenting voices here. But
go to echochamber.com.
That's right. I'm sorry. But no, if you want to leave, that'd be great. We'd love, because it gives us good fodder. You know, we're in 107 or 8 episodes now in, and so we just love having more stuff to talk about. And so plus this is interactive. This is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. And you guys are part of your voice too. And so we're hearing from a lot of you through reviews and comments. Somebody asked me about our Scarlet Thread music, and I sent them a Dropbox listing, John, with our Scarlet Thread music, our old band.
How far back did you go?
I just gave them the latest one.
Okay, good.
The EP.
The others shall never be spoken of.
Well, I don't know where I'd even find them, honestly.
I have them all.
Do you?
Digital,
Well, whoever it was, they didn't get back to me and say, oh, I listened and it's great. They were just like, thanks, and then nothing. So,
right.
For all I know, they're like, yikes.
You know, I happen to have one of our Scarlet Thread songs because I was playing with you last week. Hold on.
What?
This is what it sounded like, guys, when they got it. So you got to hear Johnny's first note. It's my favorite part. It's so good, Johnny.
As relevant as ever.
Oh. That's a good vocal, man.
Travis Wyrick, Dove award-winning producer there.
And it's faded.
Oh, fading.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're fading, listener.
Every time you talk about Scarlet 3, I'm just going to play a song.
That's fine.
So, anyway. But we do appreciate you listening. And yeah, go follow Johnny. Go follow me and send us those. Seriously, guys, we're seriously telling you. And there's a lot of new listeners right now. So if there's something you want to talk about, we'd love to bring you into the show a little more and honor your request for that. So also thank you to our new patrons on Patreon. Really appreciate you guys. We're a little behind right now. We apologize on some of your packages that will be coming, but we're working on that right now. So if you're a new patron and you haven't received that, mail is real far behind and we're real far behind, but we'll be making sure those get out to you really soon. So appreciate you guys supporting us monthly. And if you want to go check that out, there might be something you can go to patreon.com and just look up Talk About That Podcast. It's something we would appreciate. So, but otherwise, it means a lot to us that you listen every week and maybe you share with a friend this week. Especially if something meant a lot to you. And if it didn't, share it anyway because you just like
it. Share it with an enemy because you're like, this will show them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Best revenge is served an hour at a time.
That's right. I think as the old adage goes. Yes. So, hey, guys, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on
Talk About That.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.